Last week, this is a series on Samson. Last week, we talked about Samson's chapter 13 and Samson's mother. Thought it was a great one for Mother's Day. Talking about how so much that came to pass in Samson's life was due to the prayers of his mother, the obedience of his mother. A lot of times we look at the story and we don't even look at that part of it. But I believe that was a huge significance of his life, was the obedience of his mother. Today we're going to go into chapter 14. Really about how we can do all things, but about not falling into temptation. Not falling, but God gives us gifts. God gives us strength. And so many times, the gifts that God has given us, that we turn it around and use it for evil. That we turn around and use it for evil. How hurt that must make God that he says, here, you know what, I'm going to bless you with this. And then we turn around and what do we do with it? But God gives us strength. Let's go ahead and start off in chapter 14. I feel like reading this today. Judges chapter 14. It says, now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. This is a very significant part of that right there. It says, then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines, for at the time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So right there, he was sinning against God, that he was wanting to be yoked unequally with an unbeliever. But God, in the end, was able to take what he did wrong, take what Satan thought that he took away, and use it for good. We'll get into that. It says, so Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. So he's going down to somewhere where he's coming against God, really. A lion comes out and comes against him. Says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. Though he had nothing in his hands, but he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. So imagine that right there. How many of you guys, first of all, have the faith to go and tear a lion apart when it comes against you? No? But what's awesome is, it didn't say that he did it. It said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he was able to do it. That the strength of the Lord, we can overcome anything. That when a lion comes against us, when anything comes against us, how great our God is that we can overcome it. When the lion in your life, the biggest fear in your life comes against you, you can overcome it with the strength of the Lord. Amen? It said, then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of a lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands, went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. Now, first of all, remember, he's a Nazarite that's not supposed to touch anything of the dead or even be around it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there, for young men used to do so. We'll talk about that feast in a moment. And it happened, when he saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said to them, let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you should give me 30 linens of garment and 30 changes of clothing. And they said to him, pose your riddle that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife. So first of all, as you remember, he went and married someone he wasn't supposed to. He went and married someone that didn't have faith in our God, that didn't believe in our God. And says, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. A lot of times when you get yoked unequally with an unbeliever, things will come against you. You don't have the same faith. You're not in the same area with God. It says, yeah, entice your husband, then you explain the rule to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? So Samson's wife wept on him and said, you only hate me. You do not love me. You have posed a riddle to the sons of people, but you have not explained it to me. And he said to her, look, I have not explained this to my father or my mother. So should I explain it to you? Now she had wept on him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it happened on the seventh day that he told her because she pressed him so much. So he finally gave in. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of the people. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. Once again, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. They make this very straightforward there that it wasn't his strength. It says, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel and gave changes of the clothing. So he took it from their men, clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger had aroused and he went back up to his father. And Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his best man. How many of you guys like that if your spouse got given to your best man? Wouldn't that be great? No? Wow. I'm going to turn my head while he gets beat. God gave him the strength to kill a lion, to show the power that he could have in God, to show him the strength and the ability he had when the Spirit of God came upon him. That he knew with that, right there, when the Spirit of God came upon him, he knew, whether he admitted it or not, he knew, wow, there is power in the name of the Lord. There is power in the God that I serve, or I'm supposed to be serving. That it gave a point in his life, so later on in life, he knew where that power was going to come from. He knew that he wasn't able to kill a lion on his own. He knew that he didn't have the strength of himself within him. But later on, when he was going to help defeat the Philistines, that he could do it through God. That there's so many areas in our life that a lot of times we don't believe we can do it. The truth is we can't alone. The truth is we need somebody greater than the thing that comes against us. This is why a lot of times things small miracles, smaller things happen in our life that build up greater and greater. So when we get up to that test and that place in our life where we need Christ the most, we can look back and go, you know what? God was there for me in this. God was there for me in this. I remember that miracle God did in my life there. I remember when I got off the phone and I got that job immediately, right after I had prayed for it. I remember so many things in my life when God came through for me that I know that God can do this, that I know that God can bring me out of this. And it was just a beginning part of building his faith. It was just a beginning part there. Here's the thing. As he comes back by that lion he killed, the blessing, really, of God, he walks past that blessing that God did in his life. And he begins, it says, to turn aside and looks at the dead lion. That he turns aside. He took his eyes off of where he was going and put his eyes on the sin. He was going somewhere. It says he was going straight. He turned aside, looked at the carcass of that lion, took his eyes off of where he was going, but put his eyes on the glory of that sin, of the sin to come, of that the sin was him going back into that lion, going in there and eating of the dead that he was supposed to stay away from as a Nazarite, as we talked about last week. How many times, I was talking earlier, in our life, does God bless us with something and we end up sinning against him with that blessing? Think about that. How many times have I seen people get a job? They were all crying out to God. God, you know I need this. I've got to support my family. God, you know I need this new vehicle, Lord. God, please fix my marriage. God this, God that. And a miracle comes, and it's fixed, and it happens. And before you know it, they've stopped focusing on God and where they were going and began to look at how great their life is now, and they fall away from God. And they fall away from God because they began to put their eyes on the blessing instead of the blesser. So many times I see that happen. So many times you'll see, wow, this is great. The Lord is great. You wouldn't believe what's happening in my life. But all of a sudden they get to the point that they're looking at that blessing that they forget where it came from. That they began to look at something instead of praising the one that gave it to them. Wow. Look how great my life is now. Wow, look at the things happening in my life. Wow, I got a job. They stopped coming to church. They stopped spending time with God because unfortunately, a lot of times as human beings, that we don't begin to get to the place that we start spending time with God or seeking out to God until we need something. And then all of a sudden we need something from God and we're in that word. We're growing, we're like God, we're praying to him all the time. And we're growing and growing, and all of a sudden that miracle comes to pass in our life, and we start focusing on that miracle and less of God. We start focusing on what God gave us instead of him. We start focusing on how our life got turned around instead of who turned our life around. Does that make sense? Don't look back at those things you've already put to death in your life. He put to death that lion, and he looked back at it, and it caused him to sin. How many times do we overcome an addiction? We overcome something in our life? How many times does something happen where we've broken the chains, like the song said, off of our life, and we look back at it? And when you look back at it, a lot of times you go back towards it because Satan's saying, remember how good that was? Remember how good that felt? You know you like that. And all of a sudden, well, one time won't hurt. And before you know it, you're back in the mess that you originally got delivered from. You're back in that same mess that you originally got delivered from. If God delivered you from it, put it in the past and don't look back. But use it as a testimony. Use it to help others get through it. Because I tell you what, when you go back to it, it's going to be harder each and every time. It'll be harder to get out of it. It'll be harder to go forward. I've been there. I've done it. I've gone back to the sins that I was delivered from and how hard it was to get myself out of it the next time and so forth and so forth. And we're humans. We make mistakes. But learn from our mistakes. God gave Samson power to kill it. And like I said, he sinned with his blessings. Let's go to verse 2. It started out in verse 2 where it says, so he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife. There's sin number 1. Yoked himself unequally with an unbeliever. Verse 9, it says, he took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them. And they also ate. It says that when he took that honey out of the carcass of the lion, that he touched the dead. Where he sinned the second time. Verse 10, let's go down to there. It says, so his father went down to the woman, and Samson, it doesn't say his father gave him a feast. It says Samson gave a feast there, as young men used to do so. The feast in Hebrew means mishtah, which is a feast, a banquet, an occasion for drinking. And it says that he was supposed to stay away as a Nazirite, stay away from wine and alcohol and such forth. So immediately he just kept going down the line, sinning. So one sin led to another, to another. That if he would have never been marrying that Philistine, he would have never had the feast. How many times do people sin with the gift of God that was given to them? How many times have you been blessed by God? I've seen people in aspects, as we were talking about earlier, with the tithing, giving to God, that sometimes they're in need and go, okay, I have no other option. I have to give. God gives them through it, and they stop giving. I would think that's when you give more. Wow, look what God did in my life. Other times it's the opposite. They've got faith to give when they have money. And when they don't have money, when they need to be giving the most, they stop giving. That's when the faith is supposed to kick in and you watch for your blessings. I said, today's not on giving, but so many aspects of our life and how this happens. For example, how people sin against God with their gifts. Musicians. So many of your pop stars out there grew up in the church. They have a God-given gift. That voice that you listen to and you go, wow. Wow. They grew up with God. They see the gift God has in their life. And with that gift, they sin against God. That you watch them. They grew up knowing what the desires of their heart were, knowing what they needed to fulfill themselves was God. And they begin to listen to the world and the lies of the enemy, and they fall away and follow after money, after greed, after so many other lusts of the world. That after a while, you begin to watch their lifestyle. You can think of some of them. You probably know I'm not going to mention any names of those, but you can watch so many of them that look at what they can do instead of who gave them that gift. And in the end, so many times, they die of overdoses. Because what they were looking for is what they originally had in God. And they've fallen away and can't find what they're looking for anymore unless they turn back. Now I know someone that, personally know someone that grew up in the church. Great voice for the Lord. Used his talents for God. But then, one day he said that his wife was coming in between him and his music for God. And left his wife because his wife was getting in the way of his calling for God. Left his wife for another woman. How the gifts God can give us, that the pride comes up in our heart, thinking, look what I can do, and how we end up falling. And how the Satan will try to use it. That I'm telling you, when God blesses you, whatever area of your life, remember where your blessings come from. Remember, you should be in the Word more after you receive a blessing from God than you were before. Because you should be thanking Him how He turned your life around. You should be praising Him and glorifying Him for what He's done in your life. How many times do we try and become a servant for the Lord and get mad and sin against Him? Do something for God and we say, God, I've been doing all this for you and I'm not seeing any blessings. You know what? We don't do it for the blessings. We do it because we love God. If you're sitting there looking for the blessings a lot of time, that's when you'll get let down. So I don't like a lot of times preaching on blessings and being blessed all the time, because a lot of times it gives you that hope and you start doing things just to be blessed. We should do things just because we love God and what He's done for us. That's what we should do stuff for. We should show God's love because He first showed it to us. He died on the cross for us, that God gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. That should be enough for us to live for Christ if he never did anything for you again? If he never did anything again, that one thing of giving us eternal life should be enough. And if we live our lives saying, that's enough, God, when he blesses us, how much more grateful will we be? When he pulls us out of situations that we've gotten ourselves into, how much more excited will we be? When miracles come in our life and things start happening, we'll be so much more joyous because we weren't expecting it. We weren't looking for it. That all we looked for was to repay God with our love. Amen? God is great. All the time? Amen. So many times as you can look, listen to the media, the internet, TV, so many times people get into ministry because what if God's done for them or whatever reason they get in there for God and they fall. They did so great until they get in the ministry and they fall. The reason they fall is because they begin to go after the lusts of the flesh. They begin to go after things of the world. Maybe God blesses their church with money. How many times do you see ministers falling because of the money? How many times do you see ministers falling because of the opposite sex in the church? Or sadly to say, even more, the same sex in the church. That so many sins that they fall by. But I'm telling you, remember where your gifts come from. Remember where the miracles come from. Remember where your blessings come from. That they come from God and God alone. Amen? Let's go to Galatians 5, 16 through 17. You know, Satan will try to use what God has given you to get you to fall away from him. And that's what happens. That God gives you something and he tries to sneak in there and destroy it. But I tell you what, here's the thing, that if you watch and all these people that fall, that those blessings that God gave them end up falling with them. End up falling too. Falling apart. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 17. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit in order to overcome the flesh. What did Samson lack there to do? Is he didn't walk in the Spirit. He didn't continue to meditate on God day and night. What he did is he began to meditate on the things he could do. He began to meditate on the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So you can't go after the lusts of the flesh and go after the things of the Spirit. Like I've told you guys before, that when I was trying to turn my life around for God, God had told me, if you turn your life around, I'll give you the desires of your heart. But the desires of my heart at that time were the lusts of the flesh. And when I turned my life around, when I decided to give it all to God, the desires of my heart changed. I've told you before, I felt like that was a dirty trick. So I was like, that was a trick. That wasn't what I was wanting. But the desires of your spirit are so much greater than the lust of the flesh. Because the lust of the flesh will never make you happy. It's a falsified happiness. It's a fake temporary happiness. But the desires of your heart from God and being in the will of God is an eternal happiness. It's an eternal peace. It's an eternal joy that comes from within you, from having Christ in you. That even when things are down and around you, sometimes you can get down. But just remember, my joy comes from the Lord. My joy comes from above. My joy comes from God. You know, Samson, his anger arose in him after his wife came against him. He went for revenge, But you got to think, if he would have never gone after the desires of his flesh, he would have never lost the garments, nor would he have sinned. What happens was he began to go towards the desires of the flesh. He turned aside, took his eyes off of where he was going, and he fell. Things started coming against him. How do you expect to sin and be under the blessings of God? Unfortunately, that's what the church today ends up wanting. They want to continue to live their life, continue to go the way they're going, but they want God to bless them at the same time. That I've heard pastors myself, which makes me want to sin and punch them in the face, but I've heard them say things of, you know, God loves you the way you are. God doesn't want you to change. He made you just the way you are. It's a load of baloney there. Yeah, he loves you for who you are, but he tells us to change. That we can't continue to live a life of destruction and expect a life of blessings. We can't expect to live for ourselves and live for the lusts of the flesh and expect to reap the harvest and the benefits of living a life for our spirit. That it goes against each other. It's the same way you can't expect to get a paycheck and never show up for work. If you expect that, you're in for a rude awakening. You're in for a very rude awakening. And believe me, it may work at first. Maybe the boss doesn't know you're not showing up. Maybe you're doing whatever. But over time, it will catch up with you. It will catch up with you. I'm telling you today, you've got to begin to live for God. Instead of getting the blessings of God for living for sin, we become under a curse instead. You say, I go to church, and my life doesn't seem to be turning around. It's a lot of times because you're going to church, your life's not turning around. It's because you haven't turned your life around. Stop waiting for God to do something if you're not doing something yourself. Then we wait, I go to church, how come I don't see anything? I go to church, I don't feel anything. I go to church, my life's still the same. Who cares if you go to church? Who cares if you walk into a building once a week? Ooh, let's give you a hand clap. No, it's about turning your life around and then watching your life get turned around. So many people expect that Christianity is about walking into a building. It has nothing to do with the building. As I've told you guys over and over again, I would rather you stay home and pray to God and read your Bible and never come to church than to come to church once a week and never read or spend time with God. That's what it's about. It's about growing a relationship with the Creator, growing a relationship with the Father. Quit waiting for God to do something. Stand up and turn around today. Begin to grab a hold of what God has for you. A lot of times people don't get what God has for their life is because they don't know what God has for their life. How do you expect? Maybe you know some of the blessings, but you don't know what you have to do in order to inherit the blessings. Well, God says that I'll prosper. Okay, well, what does it say before that? Let's go ahead and find out. Let's go to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms 1:3. As I read earlier, 1:3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But let's go back to verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. That's where the blessings come from. The blessings don't just come. A lot of times we take scripture out of context. We begin to take it out because we want to hear what we want to hear. We don't want to hear what we need to hear. That we'll look at something and we'll confess just verse 3, but we won't begin to walk out how to receive verse 3. It's about walking it out in your life, walking something different out than those around you. It's about separating yourself from anyone else. As a Christian, someone should be able to look at you and point you out. They should be able to know that you're a Christian without even telling them. Especially if you've been working at a place for a while. 2 years later, they go, "You're a Christian? I would have never thought that." We'll leave it at that. Like I said, it's about walking things out in your life in order to receive things. You can't quote something and believe on it unless you know how to do it. Unless you know what you're supposed to do in order to receive it. Use what God has given you for good. Learn from Samson's mistakes, not from your own. If I would have learned from mistakes that these men in the Bible have done, my life would have been a lot easier. My mom's life and my dad's life would have been a lot less stressful. Begin to learn from the mistakes they made and the right decisions that they made. In the end, Samson realized, which we'll get into it next week, Samson realized what his true calling was about. He realized what he was really here for. Sometimes it takes our life to realize what we're here for. Sometimes when death faces us, looks us right in the face, is when we realize, oh man, I've been stupid. Wow. How great and merciful is God that a man can be on his deathbed, lived a life of sin, and cry out to God and say, "God, I'm sorry. Forgive me." Just like the man on the cross. That he could cry out to God right there and Jesus say, "I'll see you in paradise. I'll see you again." What a merciful God we have. Isn't that awesome? Samson took what God gave him to benefit himself only. But begin to do what God wants you to do and watch how he will bless you. So many times we try to create our own blessings. We try to create our own blessings. I really want this. I know what God wants for my life, but this is what I want. And then when we receive what we want, we're worse off than we were before we did anything. Because we try to create our own blessings. But we need him in our life for that. Samson sinned against God with his wife. And it came back to hurt him by her turning on him. Samson took pride in himself and not on God. Blessings come from taking pride in God and not yourself. Blessings come from taking pride in God and not in yourself. That's where Samson went wrong. He began to say, "Look at me." Next week we'll talk about how he said, "Look what I did. Look what I did. Look at me. Look how great I am." And pride comes before a fall. So I'm telling you today, it's whatever you're looking for, whatever you're trying to accomplish in your life. Accomplish the will of God in your life. Turn to God for who you are. Turn to God for your identity. Turn to God for every area in your life and put faith in him and see how he'll turn your life around. See how he'll change your life. Even if you end up with less than what you have now, in a worse state than what you have now, I guarantee you, I promise you, if you're living for God, if you're putting your faith in him, you're obeying him, you'll be happier then than you are now. You'll be happier with less doing what God wants for your life than you will with more and living against God. I've been there. I'm living proof. That I lived for the world, the lust of money, the lust of the world, and was miserable. I lost everything I had, and I was the happiest man alive. Because it's greater to live for God than it is to live for the world. Amen? Let's pray.
We hope you've enjoyed the message today from Redemption Church. For a copy of today's program or to partner with us, please visit us at www.redemptionchurchstl.com.